by the little things in life. Amen. Because this too shall pass. Amen. Our offering today was $17.35. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, run to the secret place. We'll rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Amen. Surely He shall save you from the fowler's snare and the deadly pestilence. And He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness shall be your shield. Whew. Hallelujah. Just got to tell somebody, God's got you. God has got you. You're in His grip, and He's not about to let you go. Father, we thank You for Your word today that brings truth to us. And we receive Your word as truth to walk in that gives life. Your word is a seed. Impregnate us with that word today, God. This is the season of acceleration. It's here. We are expectant with Your word, Father, knowing that You are faithful God. And knowing that there is nothing impossible for You, but You're the God of the possible. Open our ears to hear and our spiritual eyes to see and not be distracted by the chatter that's around us. But focus on You, Lord, as we run to the shelter of the Almighty. Today we're going to be taking our scripture reading from Proverbs 23:18 and Proverbs 24:14, and we're going to be talking about expectation, remaining in a spirit of expectation. Proverbs 23:18 tells us, "For surely there is a latter end, a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation shall not." Somebody say, shall not.
Shall not.
Be cut off.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
Amen. You can leave the house today with that word.
Amen.
And eat on it all week. Amen. Proverbs 24:14 says, "For I..." Let me get this situated this morning. Okay. Proverbs 24:14. I know that skillful and godly wisdom is so very good for your life and soul. If you find wisdom, then there will be a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation will not be cut off. But there is a key to that expectation, okay? Expectancy comes from the root word that has three meanings. It means to wait. It means to stay. It means to look forward with anticipation. Looking forward, gazing, expecting, and it means to be pregnant. What is your expectation founded on today, though? What is your expectation founded on? So this is the declaration of the Lord, the word of the Lord to you today. If your expectation is founded on the will of God, the word of God, it shall not be cut off. Because His word is truth. It's forever settled. It's a done deal. So when it's founded, your expectancy is founded on the truth of this word, it shall not be cut off. It may be delayed, but it shall not be cut off. Amen. Let that soak into you. So if it's founded on the word, your expectancy should be so vigorous that we are so focused on what is ahead that the little things that distract us around about us is nothing. We just let it roll off, so to speak. Paul says, I got to forget those things which are behind, and I've got to reach forward to those things that are ahead. That's where the expectancy lies. Amen. By reaching forth to those things that are ahead. Expectation can be considered as a vehicle that takes you from where you are at this moment to where God plans for you to be, transporting you from now into the future of the promises of God. Expecting. What are you expecting today? And the promises of God are now. They're out there in front of us. And as we go forward, we are possessing and seeing them manifested in our lives. And where the discouragement of expectancy comes in at times is, oh yeah, we're expectancy as far as the Word goes and the will of God goes. But then sometimes we want to put limitations on it. We want it answered in our way, our time, and how we want it to be answered. But when our expectation is founded on the Word and the will of God, I may not know how, I may not know when, I may not know through, but I know that God's Word says it, and that's enough for me. That is where my expectancy lies. I woke up yesterday morning, and the first thing I heard when I woke up is, full steam ahead. Full steam ahead. So I challenge you with a question today. What is your level of expectancy? Are you going full steam ahead? You heard of full speed ahead, right? Full steam ahead. And when I begin to think about this, I begin to think about an iron that you put water into that you can steam your clothes to get the wrinkles out of when you're ironing and to press them. That iron is plugged into the source of electricity. The water is in there, and you can turn the heat up or whatever on it. But there's also another button there that when you press it, more steam will come out of that iron. Amen? But when you just iron, there's a little bit that comes out and you can hear it. But when you apply pressure to that steam button, there's more steam that comes out. You put water in it, but you won't get the full capacity of what that steamer is capable of doing until you press the button that releases the steam. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. So I know ones I have used, the ones I've used, there's a release steam button on them. And it's not that there was not water in it there to produce that steam. I had to do my part to put the pressure on that steam button in order for it to operate at full capacity. The water was already there. And that water could have just stayed there if I had not pressed that steam release button. The Word of God is in you. The seed of the Word is in you. The purposes and plans of God are inside of you. You're not trying to get something that you already don't have. And when the pressure is on, it's when you know what you've got inside of you. Amen. Ephesians says, 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. This verse is talking about the power and the ability of God. To what extent is his power working in you? It's his power and his ability. So for any given person, any one of us, the power that works within us will either be contained or it will be unleashed. That part's left up to us. It will either be imprisoned or it will be released. What are you expectancy? How high is your expectancy? Are you vigorous about it? Are you going after what God has said that belongs to you? Amen. Are you going full steam ahead? And allowing your expectancy to be in the Word and the will of God, which is His Word. Amen. So it's time to go full steam ahead with greater expectancy. Amen. In Luke 22, Jesus prayed that your will be done. So we know now that the Word of God, the will of God for your life is the purpose of God, the spoken Word, the written Word that He wants to perform in your life. The will of God is your assurance of victory in the midst of the battle. And when you begin to understand this, there is a peace. Because the will of God is your peace. The will of God is your joy. The will of God is your prosperity. Those things are the will of God for your life. The will of God is your deliverance. The will of God is your restoration. But are we expecting those things to operate in our lives on a daily basis? And everything that Jesus came to do, church, everything that Jesus came to do is the will of God for your life. And in so much as your expectation is founded on that Word and on that will, your expectation will not be cut off. Because it's a sure thing. And just as you put that seed in the ground, in the natural, that seed is planted in the ground, it's going to come up. It's going to find a way to come up through that rock or through that hard soil because there's power in that natural seed that you put in the ground. How much more powerful is the seed of the Word of God? It's going to come up amidst the hardness of your heart, in the midst of your bitterness, and all those things that want to stop that seed from producing. But it's your expectancy at the place where you're allowing that Word to birth in you. Proverbs 28, as I read a while ago, says, "For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off." It shall not be cut off. It shall not be cut off. Amen. So expectation is more than just wishing. It is a confident assurance based on hope. And as believers, our hope is not a hope that the world has, because the world's hope is wishing, I hope, maybe, if everything works out. Our expectation is not like the world's expectation. And you know, living life is just full of expectations anyway, because you expect to get up to go to work in the morning. You expect to go home and eat lunch. You expect your life is full of expectancies anyway. So why not found your life and live your life with expectancy of the truth of the Word? You know, I expect I'm going to have a good day tomorrow. My expectancy is based on that Jesus said He would never leave me nor forsake me. Whatever happens tomorrow, it won't be nothing that God, me, and the Holy Ghost can't work out. Amen. Whatever that word may come to me, I know that God is more than able when I put my trust in Him. That's my expectancy for tomorrow. Well, what if it don't happen? What if all things mess up? I don't quit on Mondays. And neither should you. Amen. So what is your expectations regarding the word for your life and the prophetic promises that you've received? Have you laid those things aside and just said, well, it hasn't happened, so I don't guess it ever will? You know, people says, well, you expect what you get, and that's true. Because you're going to attract to you what you are expecting. Because that's what you're thinking, and there's power in your word, and what you think is eventually going to come out of here. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen. So what are your expectations today? What are your expectations in coming to church today? Did you just come today because it's just what you do? Well, I'm going to go today, but there's probably many people there, and they'll probably sing songs that don't make no sense to me anyway. And there's no telling what Pastor Charlotte's going to do and anybody else. Or is your expectation saying, I know that New Life for the Nation is where God wants me? If there's 20 people here, 100 people here, or 500 people here, I'm going with expectations that I'm going to get what I need for God. And I'm going to be a blessing to somebody else. I'm not going just because it's 9:30 and that it's just a place to go to church. This is where I know that God has my blessing. This is where I know that I'm at. Amen. So, did you come because that's what you do on Sunday? Is it as business as usual? Quit taking things as business for usual, because we're in a new season. And it just might happen anytime. What might happen? Whatever you're expecting. Expectation involves having anticipation. It is having eagerness, a longing, an outlook, a possibility, and grounds for hope. He gives you the grounds to state, I have anticipation, I have confidence of fulfillment. I'm longing for that word to come to pass in my life. Make me even more hungry for what I know that your will and your purpose for my life is. Open my eyes that I can see what you're seeing. Give me a heaven's view of what's going on. Amen. So I'm expecting that which God has promised you, what God has promised us, is happening. And start expecting that change has come. That change has come. We pray in the now. But sometimes we pray, well, maybe it'll happen tomorrow, maybe it'll happen next week. But are we praying in the now and believing in the now? Declare that over your life today. Your change has come. Just say, my change is here. My change has come. Amen. The enemy wants to put you in a position whereby all you can see is the negative things that surround you. That's his job. It's to get you off and to distract you with all the negative things around you. But when your expectation is founded on the will and the Word of God and the promises of God, at that moment, anything that the enemy throws at your life, you're going to know it. And you're going to know that it's not truth. You're going to say, that's not where my expectations at, devil. Don't even go there. Don't even try it. I know by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. So don't go there and tell me that I'm dying of something. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah. Job said, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. The very thing that I feared was what I was expecting, and that very thing came upon me. So when something comes upon us, we're like, what was your expectation at? What were you believing and what were you confessing? Job said, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. What I expected had happened to me. Dread is fearful expectation. Dread is fearful expectation. Joyce Myers had a little book out called Don't Dread. We constantly sometimes live in a state of fearful anticipation and expectation. I dread going to work tomorrow. I dread this is going to happen. God's mercies are new every day. And when you are dreading, next time you get that thing that wants to come up on you that you want to say, I dread something, just say, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. That's a spirit of fear that's trying to come up on me to close the door of what I know that God says the Word says about the situation. And I don't walk in fear, I walk in faith. Believing that God is able to do what He said He would do. Dread opens the door to fear. We know the Bible says that God's not given us that spirit of fear. Amen. So some of you may be sitting here today and you're dreading tomorrow, dreading that appointment next week, dreading that family reunion, so to speak. Not wanting to go, but know you need to go. Expectation gives birth to manifestation. And I think I put it in my article that we heard a long time ago, that expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. When you plant that seed in the ground of expectation, amen, that's the breeding ground for miracles to take place. Amen. And that word to produce in your life. Expectation gives birth to manifestation. Whether it's with a spirit of dread or a spirit of expectation in faith, hope, believing what God's word says. Amen. Whether it's based on faith in the will of God or based on dread, which we said before, is fear. So our lives will follow our expectations. It's like I said a while ago, we live in expectation all the time. We may not think we do, but we do. We expect to go out there and our car is going to start. We expect to walk out the door. We expect to get up in the morning. Just turn around and begin to take that expectation that is upon you and that's in you and believe the goodness of God in the land of the living. So because expectation is a form of faith, expectancy that is based on faith in the will of God is an expectancy that hopes, and it's not wishful thinking that it might or might not happen. Amen. God says, I'm bound to my word. And when I'm bound to my word, if you'll believe that my word is bound to you and it's bound to happen. Amen. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things that we cannot see. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things that we cannot see. Just because I've not seen it yet doesn't mean it's not true. Does not mean that it's not the truth of God. Amen. So faith brings our hopes or expectations into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. Praise the Lord. Let me read that again. Faith brings our hopes or expectation into reality, into manifestation, and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. Hope, look forward to with confidence or expectation. Hope, to look forward to with confidence or expectation. I want to tell you a story in Acts 3 about a guy. Set at the beautiful gate, it said, to the temple, day after day after day after day, he was lame. And upon seeing Peter and John, he asked them for money. Peter was carrying that answer in him. Do you know that you're carrying the answer to somebody's problem? You know that you're carrying the answer to somebody's healing, somebody's deliverance, somebody's word of peace at the moment? So Peter was carrying the answer, but the man's failure to discern operated as a hindrance to the flow of power that was in Peter to release what that lame man needed. So we're told that Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter instructed him to look at them. They looked at him straight in the eye and said, "Look here." And it said the lame man looked up, expecting to get something from them. So when you look up to God in prayer, are you just praying into thin air? No, you are praying to God of this universe, the God that created you, the God that spoke something out of nothing into existence. Amen. This man had physically seen them, seen the people go in and out, probably seen Peter and John go out every day, and he asked them for alms. So why do you think Peter instructed him to look at them? I believe Peter was saying, this is my personal opinion, I believe Peter was saying to him, unless you discern who I am, now remember that, you will not be able to discern and receive what I am carrying to give you. So when we look to God, the I am, we've got to, and a lot of us come from religion, to we weren't taught about the good Father, and that God is for us and not against us, and grace. So we have to deprogram ourselves with what the Word says. And I found out the more that I apply myself to the Word and learn more and more about how good the Father is, that He is for me and not against me, then when I am able to look into His eyes and gaze into Him and lay my head on His bosom, I begin to understand and to discern that what He's carrying, He's already given me. Whew. Hallelujah. But if you don't rightly discern who the Father is, who the Lord is, and how much He loves you, it will distort everything in your expectation. Amen. So I believe Peter was saying to him, you've got to discern who I am. You've got to be able to discern, because I'm carrying what you need. So Peter and John gave his attention, and we're told in Acts 3:5 that the lame man looked at them expecting to receive something from them. So I believe the lame man had begun to recognize at that point that they carried something significant. Of all the people that were passing through that day, all the people that was passing through that day, Peter and John had the word. Peter and John had that he was expecting. Amen. And his expectation was elevated to the point beyond the possibility of just receiving alms, but it was expectation of having been ignited and connected with the power of God. I want more than just alms to survive on. I'm going to get up and walk. So how many times are we content with just a small thing when God says, no, that small thing is just a step to your bigger victory. Don't settle for less when God says there's more with your expectation. So that guy was just sitting there, I'm just going to get a little alms so I can continue to live. But God saw the bigger picture. And I believe Peter did too. He said, I've got something that you need more than what you think you're needing. And when he expected to receive from them, and he got what he was expecting. Amen. So unless you discern rightfully who I am, God says, you'll not be able to discern and receive what I'm carrying to give you. I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly, till it'll overflow. What about the woman with the issue of blood who pressed through the crowds surrounding, but kept repeating, I've just got to touch the hem of His garment. I will be made whole. That's where my expectation is at. I've got to press through whatever's around me. I've got to touch Him, even if it costs me, because I know that's where my healing is at. My expectation is I've got to touch Him, and I know that I will be made whole. Hallelujah. What are you expecting today? What are you expecting in this season? What are you expecting in the remainder of this year? Is your expectation founded on the Word of God? Some of you may be hard-pressed on every side like that woman was. Chatter the enemy said and give up. But I have found out when the pressure is on, it's the greatest. When the pressure is on at the greatest, the breaker of the breakthrough is about to break through. Amen. The breakthrough of the breakthrough is about to break through. Amen. Hallelujah. My expectation, church, is that despite what we're going through as a church, despite what you're going through at the moment in your life, my mind is at rest that God is able to do what He has promised you that He's going to do. And by the time you leave here today, I hope your expectancy antenna has just shot up. And it's going like this. I'm here. Woohoo, I'm here. Amen. My expectation is that such, despite what you're going through, it's but for a moment of time. And that too shall pass. Because you are connected, church. Because you are connected with the heavenly purpose. And we can be confidently assured that all is well. And when you know in your expectation it's connected to that heavenly purpose and you know that, then it's bound to happen. It shall not be cut off. It shall not be cut off. Looking back at Acts 3, the man previously said the beautiful gate had never previously been able to get beyond the position of where he was at because he was lame. And if your expectation is founded on anything else than Jesus and what the Word says, you are going to walk through life lame. You are going to walk through life stumbling and never be able to get from where you are, point A to point B to point C to point D. Because our life and our relationship with God is a progress. We are to be progressing. We are to be progressing. But you know what happened when he looked at Peter and he expected to receive from them? And the same thing happens to us when we look to God, expect to receive from Him. And our expectation is founded on the will of God. He said he got up, he started walking, he started leaping, and he started praising God. Amen. In the same way, church, we have been promised that we are entering our season of the God of more than enough. The season of acceleration, the season when we're walking in the overflow. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let it make you stop and stay in that position if they're all there is when there's more. Previous position into a season of beyond, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to close. But I decree to you today that it's your season of breakthrough. And no longer will you be held back from doing what has been in your heart to do. The dream that you had that has seemed to be held up, now's the time that you're going to have the resources to accomplish and go through with your heart's desire. I know there have been things in the past that have left you heartbroken with a sense of failure. But I'm the mender of the broken heart. Look beyond your present circumstances and with great expectation know that I'm working on your behalf. The first moment that Daniel prayed, God heard, and he began to set things into motion to do what Daniel had believed him for. So don't quit today. Don't quit today. Amen. Let's stand to your feet and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today that has stirred our hearts, stirred our spirits to go beyond our present situation, our present position, to believing that there's more. To believing that heaven has come to earth, heaven lives in us, the kingdom of God lives in us. And we thank you, Lord, that there is no limit to what we can expect from you and for what we can expect you to do in our lives because you are a good, good Father. And the more that we learn of your goodness and your how you want to lavish the things upon us and all your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your love to do in our lives because you are a good, good Father. And Lord, you long and you desire to give good gifts to your children. And as we wait upon you in expectation, anticipation. Impregnate us with that word, with the things that are on your heart, and those things that keep drawing us back to you, and back to longing and to being in your presence, back to longing and hungering for your word to be fulfilled in our lives in this season. Bring us back to a place, God, a now place, where there is nothing that we would be afraid to ask you or to believe you for, and to gaze upon your beauty, and to have a glimpse into the heavenlies and the spirit realm, where there is nothing you cannot do because you're the God of the possible. Take us to the place of asking things that seem to man seem impossible, but we worship you and our hearts long today for so much that we cannot begin to speak it all, because sometimes we're overwhelmed. Not with the bad thing, but just overwhelmed at how much you love us and how much you want good things for us. Overtake us, Father. Overtake us, Holy Spirit. Because we long to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let us be that blueprint on the earth. Let us be that blueprint on the earth and in the earth for such a time as this. I speak your blessings over your people today, God. I speak favor and blessings upon them, that they're the head and not the tail. They are highly favored of you, Father. And I thank you for everything that is happening, the good things that are happening around them, that your word is running to overtake them. Hope is running to overtake you. And I thank you for that today, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
I need to say something before we leave. I have a testimony. When I got here this morning and got out of the car and worked my way in here to the front seat and sat down, that was all the energy I had that I could exert on my foot. All the time during the praise and worship, after Sister Shirley started preaching, I'm sitting there and it's just like a bunch of little demons taking a blowtorch and pins and needles. And that foot felt like it was on fire. And it felt like it was being just punched with the little sharp needle thing. And I'm sitting there, and sometimes it was even hard to focus on what was going on. And I was sitting there listening to her preach. And all of a sudden, I realized that something was different. And I focused on that foot. And I thought, this don't feel like it felt when I came in here. And I finally figured it out. I said, instead of feeling like it was when I came in here, now it feels like I've got an ice pack on it. And it was just all around the foot and the ankle. And I sat there and I thought, boy, that sure does feel a whole lot better than what I was sensing earlier. And then it just was gone. Now, if you were here this morning when I came in, you saw me come in. You didn't see me come in like this. If you were here, you just saw me drag myself in and sit down on that front row. And I never got up until Sister Shirley said, stand. Now, that's a demonstration of what being under the Word of God can do for you. And just like I said when I was talking earlier, there was part of me and that foot was saying, you don't want to go. You don't want to go. Don't drag me through that. Now I'm going. Praise God. And I'm here.
Danny McClister, come up here.
joy.